How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
But our subject has been training in reigning. And this is based on the truths of Romans chapter 5, that we are to reign in life by one Christ Jesus. And training is necessary. Let's look at this scripture. Samuel explained to the people the behavior of royalty. And he wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. And then he sent the people away, every man to his house, to practice what they had learned about being royal people. And in the New Testament, it's clear that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That, in fact, one of my favorite scriptures, if not yours, is Revelation 1 and 5, that appears etched in 24 karat gold on the wall of the church as you walk in the door. It says, "Now unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto our God and his Father, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen." So that we're to be royal. Now, we're to rule over life and not have the stuff of life ruling over us. And this is not just positive thinking. This is conquering all the aspects of our life. Now's when I don't want you to pay too much attention, because I'm really going to quickly go through. And you are saving. Look at the time you're saying. This is last week's teaching, and I was going to review it, and I decided, nope, not going to do that, going to get right to it. So you're on page 2 of your notes right now. And here we are, the behaviors of royalty. Page 2 of your notes, because page 1 was basically a review. So everybody say, God help the preacher, and help me to learn something today. Amen. Amen. The behaviors of royalty. Now, we began this, and I'm not going to repeat, but we have already learned, and by the way, understand, we are learning about kingship, not tyranny. There's a difference. This is not about learning how to be a tyrant. This is about learning how to be a king. There's a big difference, a world of difference, as different as light is from darkness. And in kingship is about honor. That's why we honor the king. And the king also honors his subjects. The king is not mean to subjects. He is honoring to his citizenry. Otherwise, he's a tyrant. He exists to help the people. The people don't exist to help him. That's the difference between kingship and tyranny. And we've already learned, we spent a whole Sunday on how we honor. We are people, we even honor people who don't appear to be honorable, who don't even treat themselves with respect or dignity. We bestow on those that lack honor, we bestow more abundant honor. And then we learned that kings give to the needy. That's the next thing we learned. And he that honoreth the poor is going to be commended by the Maker, because those who oppress the poor reproach God. So we demonstrate royalty by giving to the needy. We've learned that one already. We also give as an act, not because people have need, but as a way of honoring those persons. And this, we meant some time that it came to a woman. It came to Jesus, a woman, and she's got this perfume box with very precious ointment. And I don't know what your wife's cost, but I know what my wife's cost. It's very precious ointment. And you buy it by the half ounce sometimes. And what she did with this is she took this expensive perfume and she poured it on the head of Jesus. And when the disciples saw her doing this, they had indignation and they said, what such a waste? Look at what the disciples said. This ointment could have been sold for much and given to the poor. But see, royalty doesn't just give to the poor. But we give to honor people. We give gifts to honor people. That's why at Christmas time, don't give your wife tires for her car. Give her the car. And so, see, one was a matter of giving to a need. But royalty, we give. Jesus, look at this. He said, he was awestruck that they felt this way because they had not been, obviously didn't understand royalty. And he said, why do you trouble the woman? She has wrought a good work upon me. And so we give to honor. And then the fourth thing that we as royalty do, of all the things we give, one of the most important things we give is forgiveness. Giving people pardon from their wrongs against us even before they deserve it. Forgive means to give in advance without any qualification from them. And we learned, we spent a whole Sunday on this, the importance, even when you pray, that you stand up to pray, you better make sure you've forgiven everybody or your prayers don't get anywhere. In fact, if we don't forgive, we don't even get forgiveness. God rescinds the forgiveness of us if we do that. And we learned this, that there are wrongs in the past and they tend to affect our future. And that's why forgiveness is actually the rewriting the history of yourself and others. So what we do is we come along and we forgive this. We forgive this. And when we forgive the wrongs that have been done against us, guess what? We get them out of existence. This is the rewriting of history. See, history has a mark there. Somebody wronged us. Somebody hurt us. Somebody damaged us. We damaged somebody else. And if we told the truth here, we have all kinds of this stuff here. And so that's part of your history. But forgiveness comes along and rewrites your history because forgiveness gets rid of this. And when it's gone, it can no longer come into your present or damage your future. So we get to rewrite history by giving forgiveness. And that's why big controversy on right now about, you know, who the president has pardoned, and he hasn't pardoned as many as previous presidents. And of course, when it comes to pardon, which is a little different than forgiveness, pardon can only be extended by an authority has the right to do that, and that only on certain terms. And here we go with new material now. Another behavior of royalty is a constant condition of joy. The palaces, our homes are full of joy. God's glory is great in your salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. God, the Lord has laid on you great honor and majesty. For God hath made him blessed, most blessed forever. Don't get too tied up with the first 70 years of forever. Thou hast made him exceedingly glad with thy countenance. I think joy is one of the great signs of a genuine Christian. How can you have received, how could I have received all the benefits of this one who came from the sky to the earth, from the earth to the cross, from the cross to the grave, from the grave back to the sky, and send his Holy Spirit to dwell in me, and me not be exceedingly glad? What takes away our joy, dear friends, is that we get distracted with other stuff instead of the constant realization of this. Are you ready? Let me use a biblical term, this so great salvation. So part of the behavior royalty is, has to do with joyfulness. And then stability. And you can tell I'm going quickly because I'm going to slow down on number 8. It's what everyone I got to today. The king trusts in the Lord. And through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. If you trust in the Lord, through the benefits that will come from him to you, you will have stability. You will not be up one moment and down another. You'll not be in victory one moment and cast down another moment. We have stability. Now, this does take a few days after you become a Christian. At first, Christians, new Christians, tend to have these highs and lows. And a poorly trained new Christian will not have so many lows or so many highs, but he's sort of stuck in the middle. A properly trained Christian, however, that is a properly discipled follower of the Lord, one who is, what is a disciple but one who has developed the disciplines, okay? What happens is, instead of having highs and lows, he just has the highs all the time. We are made to ride upon the high places, but we do it stable. We don't have those lows. Well, how could we ever be down? If God be for us, who can be against us? We've already learned about this condemnation thing, didn't we? Who is he that condemneth? It is God that justified us. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? I'll tell you, dear friends, because all the bottoms drop out. Now, there may be a moment, once in a long stretch, where you go through a temporary lower than usual, but victory out of that and back to stability is as quick as remembering the truths that you've learned. If the devil can get you away from the truth, he can make you unstable. That's why the renewed mind has to stay renewed. But stability is one of the things that goes with royalty because we trust in the Lord. Another attribute or behavior of royalty is royalty doesn't just ignore stuff, but searches out the facts. And that's why one of the great dangers of our day is mindless Christianity, unthinking Christianity. See, human beings were made to think. I think it was Tozer who said, you will not find an animal on this planet who contemplates. They just do animal stuff ruled by instinct. But people who are not animals think. We are made to think. That's why truth becomes important. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this way of thinking be in you. Learning to think right is the second step second only to becoming a Christian through the blood of Jesus is step number one. That gets our heart right, but then we got to get our heads right. And you have to keep your head straight all the time. That's why we are daily. These Bereans were more noble because they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things be so. That creates nobility. That creates stability. We just don't assume things. We search out the facts. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. That's why most important book you possess is the Bible. It ought to have a concordance in the back, and if it doesn't, the second most important book is a concordance. Third most important book is a hymn book, and you ought to have all three and use them every week, every day. And if you really want to get search, if you want to search out matters, you should spend a $39. In fact, you can get freeware off the internet. You can get Bible software that enables you to search out matters. What's bothering you today? Go to the Bible and search out the matter, because the Bible will disclose to you what the cause is, what the cure is, and how you can stay out of the problem. Search out matters, dear friends. Don't, and I'm glad you come here, and I come here to have searched out certain matters, which I try to convey to you, and I hope it's helpful. But don't let me or anybody else do your searching out for you. There's nobody between you and God except Jesus, not even a pastor, not even a nice pastor like me. What are you laughing about? You see, this is the honor of a king, to search out solutions, to find the answers to the stuff. In fact, the scripture says that if a man answers a matter before he hears the whole story, to him it is shame and is folly. It will cause him a casting down. Men that is in honor and understand not is like the beasts that perish. That's why wisdom is a principal thing, therefore get wisdom. Now, this is the one I want to spend the time on today. And hopefully this is a big thing for kings. Because kings decree things into existence. To decree means to have the power to enact. And God has given you in your kingship in this life the power to bring into existence some things that will never exist unless you act in your power of decree. We learn a lot about decree in the book of Daniel. A lot of decreeing going on in the book of Daniel. We'll come to some of it. Let me show you some scriptures first so you know that this is what God intends for you. Let's look at this. Look at this scripture. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. Take a look at that. God is saying to you, beloved, that you can decree something and it will occur. It will establish, it will be established unto you. We are on the threshold of one of the greatest truths I could ever tell you. For you to understand that your position in Christ as a joint heir with him, as a king under his kingship, as royalty, is that God has given you the ability to decree a thing and it become established. This is creative power. This This is big stuff. Is there stuff in your life you want changed? Is there circumstances in your family that you would like to have altered? And let me tell you, dear beloved, the Scripture comes and God, the Spirit of God, comes to tell you that you are going to be able to decree a thing and it will be established unto thee. It not only will be established unto you, but look at the rest of this verse. The light that comes from God shall be upon your ways. This is no weak, anemic, sick little idea. We are standing on the threshold of profundity. You shall declare a thing, and it will be established unto thee. Now, we're going to come back to this verse, but let's look at some more scriptures about this. So, look at this. By me, wisdom is speaking here, kings reign, and princes decree justice. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his maker. Watch this now. Let's look at this. God says, ask me of things to come concerning my sons. Now watch this, because the second subject is not just the Lord's sons, but it concerns the work of his hands. And watch this now. And God says, command ye me. Now, we have learned to be commanded by God. In fact, let me tell you a little secret to this really up front. Because if you're not commanded by God, you will never get to function at this level. But God comes along and he says, concerning the works of my hand, command me. Imagine God, all powerful, almighty, coming to you this morning and saying to you, inviting you, expecting you to exercise a power distributed to you by him to be able, concerning the work of his hands, to command him. And God will respond to you. Now, don't get too worried. We're not going over any edge here. And I know that there are those who have taken these scriptures and not given the rest of what I'm about to give you and have misused and abused and taught this in an erroneous, heretical way. We're not going there. I'll show you why in just a moment. Look at this. Here's the disciples. They did it. As they went through the cities. This is the disciples, right? Whoops. Watch here. As they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees. Delivered to them the decrees that they should keep. The disciples had certain decrees, and they delivered their decree to the new Christians so they would keep these decrees. Who did it? These that were ordained of the apostles and elders, which were at Jerusalem. They were given decrees by the disciples. Let's look at another one. Now, here we are in the fourth chapter of Romans. And this is in reference to Abraham. As is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God. Now, this is about God giving an instruction to Abraham. Now, watch this. Who quickens the dead. That's one thing God does. Aren't you glad for that? Because we were dead in our trespasses and our sins. And look at what God does. He calls those things which be not as though they were. Now, I'm going to take you back to this verse in a few moments to show you that this verse was intended to teach Abraham and his heirs, which you are, that you can do what God has patterned here. I'm going to show it to you right in the text. Abraham, I call things that be not as though they were. And I'm expecting you to do the same thing. That's what this text is about. And God has given his royal sons and daughters who live by the law of the royal law, right? The royal law. The ability to call stuff that is not as if it were, because if you do that, it will become. All right. Now, here's the kicker. Oh, this next verse is just showing you what I said. It is referring to Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. I'll bring you back to this text. So now, what I wanted to do and close today is the principles of biblical decreeing. I want you to understand that this teaching can be misused and abused in error. But just because there is abuse doesn't mean we shouldn't have use. Misuse doesn't say don't use anymore. And there are people who quit using because of abuse or misuse. How silly that is. So, we want to understand the principles of this so that you here this morning, beloved, can actually decree into existence that which, if you don't do, would never occur. Are you with me? All right. So, what is biblical decreeing? And now, number one, biblical decreeing functions within a certain jurisdiction. In other words, a prescribed scope of function. And there are two of these given to us in Scripture, and I'm going to show them to you. The first one is in regards to the work of God's hands. Concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Now, let me talk about this jurisdiction issue first. Can you imagine how terrible it would be on planet Earth if God gave everybody the power to decree a thing and it would be established? There are political leaders who would decree the destruction of America. Do you see how this power is so important that it cannot be distributed without limitation, without being principle governed? And so God has limited our power to create in this way for now. Do you know something? That when we exit here and we go to heaven, there are going to be rewards There are levels of rewards in heaven. Do you all know that? I don't know if we've studied that before together. And thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. In other words, in the heavenlies, after this life, God is going to give you a multiple of your faithfulness here is going to be greater there. And based on how faithful you've been here is going to determine how great your powers and function and your ability will be in eternity. That's why now is really important. Now, God is going to give you in eternity tremendous creative powers. But for now, they have limitation and they are confined to jurisdiction. One of those jurisdictions is the work of his hands. And that covers a lot of stuff. And it's interesting that this scripture seems to include, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Now watch this, because I don't have exegetically enough information to say if this command ye me applies only to the work of his hands or the sons. I think properly understood, as you're going to see it in a moment, as it unfolds to you, it could be applied to other sons and daughters of God. Well, let me give it to you in the vernacular, okay? You will have the ability to bring blessing to other sons and daughters of God by your decrees. Hallelujah. Oh my. Because they are the work of God's hands. Secondly, your jurisdiction includes over Satan and evil spirits. Now, if you need to have this down pat. Do never be afraid of a devil. Never be afraid of demons. Ever! Because it is clearly enunciated by our Lord that you have power over them. Let's look at the scripture, and there's lots of them, but it's in my main subject. But this is, behold, Jesus says, I give you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and look at this, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means of theirs hurt you. You follow that? Well, you can decree a thing about a devil or a demon and it will be established unto you. You do not have to put up with devils and demons. You are made to master them. You are made to decree them and limit them and control them. Prevent them. Biblical decreeing takes place within jurisdiction. And biblical jurisdiction has conditions attached to it. And I'm sure that you are probably zealous to know what these conditions are. So let's look at them. Number one is a right relationship with God. Now, let's go back to the scripture now and see. This scripture is followed. This is the preceding verse this is the verse that precedes this one about you shall decree a matter and it will come to pass. All right. If thou shalt return to the Almighty, if you're not in right relationship with God, get back. Repent. So repent, return. Get back to a right relationship with the Almighty. Because when you get in a right relationship, let me show you the evidences of a right relationship. Are you ready? How can you tell if you're in a right relationship with God or not? Are you ready? Number one, because if you are, you will be built up. Let me give you another supporting scripture for this. You ready? They that do know their God shall be, what's the word? Strong. People in right relationship with God are strong. Oh, get this now. People in right relationship with God are built up. If I am weak, if I am not built up, if I am not strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, this is an indication that my relationship with Him is not right. Oh, I think I need to preach here 20 minutes. This does not fit contemporary Christianity, does it? Which basically purports that you can be saved and on your way to heaven and be a wishy-washy, soulless, sapless, spineless, shriveled blob. The most important thing that any one of us ever does is get established in a right relationship with God. It is number one. Because if the relationship is right, everything else will follow. So if stuff is out of whack, if stuff is out of kilter, if it is tilting, if I'm empty or disillusioned, if I'm scared and fearful, and if I am without direction, and if I am aimless, if I feel like an empty vessel instead of a full one, this is an indication that the place to get is to return to the Almighty. Now, you know, this could have said, if thou shalt return to the Lord thy God, it could have said that. It could have said, if thou shalt return to Jehovah. But it says the Almighty. When you return to the Almighty, I mean, Almighty means that anything broke, He can't fix. There isn't anything down that He can't lift up. There isn't anything depressed that He can't elate. He's Almighty. El Shaddai. If thou shalt return to the Almighty, you'll be built up. And look at the second thing you will do. You will automatically deal with iniquity and get it out of your home, household, tabernacle, wherever it is wherever you are. The evidence of being returned to the Lord is, and having a right relationship with God, is that you built up and put away iniquity. Now, you're going to see, okay, so this is the first condition of, now watch this. A non-built-up person cannot decree. Hello? It's a pretty heady thing to be able to decree a thing and it come to establishment. This is not for weakling. This isn't desperation. This isn't false prophesying. This isn't a hopeful declaration. You shall decree a thing and it will be established. So watch this. Have to deal with iniquity. Cannot have iniquity. Now watch. Imagine someone who is motivated to lift themselves up. That's what iniquity is, right? To create an inequality. Think of myself more highly than I ought to think. Like Satan, I will ascend. I will be like the Most High God. I will. Iniquity prevents the ability to decree a thing into existence. You follow that? You understand the reasons why? Because then everybody would be decreeing for their own benefit, for selfish reasons, selfish motives, and because they're. But when you're in right relationship with God, you're not only built up, but also you put away iniquity. All right? So these are the conditions. Now watch it. Your source of delight needs to be God. So number one, you return to the Lord and you're built up and you put away iniquity. And because of those two things, thou shalt have thy delight in the Almighty. Because you see, let me ask you a rhetorical question. I hope you know the answer to this. When you properly decree a thing into existence, who brings it into existence? God. You understand? Decreeing, see, of the work of my hands command you. Decreeing requires God's involvement, or you're just mouthing off and nothing's going to happen. God's the one who makes it happen. That's why you have to be in right relationship with God. That's what makes you built up. That's what puts away, that's why you put away iniquity from your tabernacles. And that's how God becomes the delight. Oh, yes. I'm walking with God. And you will lift up thy face unto God. The reason people cannot look God in the eye is because they don't have a clear conscience. And we know the steps to clear our conscience, don't we? Aren't we glad for the seminar? By the way, it's coming November the 5th, 6th, 7th, somewhere in there. Basic seminar, don't miss it. So, thou shalt return to the Almighty. You'll be lifted. You'll be built up. Put away iniquity. Your delight be in the Almighty. You have the ability to lift up your face to God. You have a clear conscience. And that's what gives prayer power. Clear conscience is what gives prayer power. Timothy, let me give you Philip's translation. I send you forth to battle for the right, armed only with faith and a clear conscience. These are the two simple weapons that so many have cast contemptuously aside and have run their ships upon the rock. Listen to Paul in Acts. Herein, I exercise myself at all times to have a conscience void of offense before God and before people. So, now with a clear conscience, you make your prayer unto Him. Now, this is not just a prayer unto God. Watch, don't miss the scripture. Look at the text. This prayer. Prayer is not astral projection. Prayer is not throwing wishes out into the ether somewhere and hoping it happens. Well, some prayers are that. Well, some prayers can be prayed, and when they get up to the roof, they stop there. There are prayers that God does not even hear. There are prayers that are, the Bible says, are an abomination to the Lord. But watch this. Look at these conditions that we've just walked through now, and look at this. Watch the screen. Watch the scripture. Because he shall hear thee. Whoa. You got an audience with God, and he's paying attention to what you are saying. Wow. See, if your prayers aren't working, if my prayers aren't working, what I need to do is run the tape backwards. Roll the tape back. I got to go back to what's wrong first. Fix what's wrong. So that when I make my prayer unto him, he hears me. And what do you have to do to get your prayers heard? Return to the Almighty. Be built up. Huh? Put away iniquity. Make God your delight. Now you offer your, have a clear conscience. Be able to look God face to face, eye to eye. Now in your prayers are prayed to him, he shall hear thee. Oh. Be heard by God. Now watch this one. And thou shalt pay the commitments you made when you were before God in prayer. Right? Obedience. The directions of God. Now look at the next verse. After all these things happen, then thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. So here, my beloved friends, we have learned with A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I didn't know how many numbers. I didn't know if G was the seventh number or not. Seven conditions in this passage that if we meet them, you will decree a thing and it shall be established unto thee. Now, there are more. Let's get the rest of them. Let me just keep going. A decree must be a righteous decree. It must be right. We don't just get to decree anything we want about anybody, anything, based on our own iniquity. It must be righteous. Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees. And write grievousness which they have prescribed. Interesting phrase. They have prescribed. No connection with God. This is an independent declaration, a decree. So a decree must be righteous. And it must be anchored in wisdom. And so we go to Proverbs chapter 8, as we do in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 9, etc. And wisdom is the one that's speaking there. And wisdom is saying, by me. This is an important phrase, by me. And the me here is referring to wisdom, the personification of wisdom. By wisdom, kings reign, and by wisdom, princes decree what is just. Must be anchored in wisdom. Number five, it's not to be done hastily. You don't just whip out a decree. You we walk through this relationship with God tenuously, contemplatively. And this is what Daniel bothered Daniel about many of the decrees that were taking place by the king in Babylon. Why is the decree so hasty from the king? And if you remember, Daniel got to reverse the decree of the king because the decree was made in haste. So don't be hasty about making a decree. And then, this one's really big time. A biblical righteous decree is based on the rhemas of God. And with that, I'm going to close here. But this is really important. Are we at the bottom of your page? Close to it? Okay. Now, we're going back now to that verse. We're talking about this God who calls those things which be not as though they were. That's what a decree is. A decree is calling something that's not as if it were. A decree is calling into existence that which does not now exist. You follow that? All right. Now, the context of this was the instruction of Abraham. And God saying to Abraham, I call that which is not as though it were, and I want you to do the same. And so, look at what... So, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform. Now watch this. Because God was saying to Abraham, you call into existence based on my promises. I got goosebumps. Look at that. I want you to catch this. So Abraham staggered not at the promise. What was the promise? You shall be the father of many nations. But I'm so old, I can't have a child. And before there could be a child, Abraham had to quit doing stuff in the flesh because he didn't think his wife was capable anymore. And that's how we got Ishmael. And that's how we got the Middle East situation today. But then, when that didn't work, he went back to the promise of God. And look at this. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Decreeing is based on a rhema, a word from God. Now, what's the difference between a rhema and a logos? There are two logos. There's Jesus, is called the logos. And this is the logos, right? A rhema is a logos quickened to you by the Spirit. It is a promise of God. You read it and the Spirit makes it real to you, and your faith leaps and you stagger not at that promise. But look at now, the rhema is the basis of your decree. Calling something that is not as though it were is based on the promises of God, the rhemas of God. And this book is full of rhemas. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every... That word is rhema, not logos. By every rhema that comes out of the mouth of God, it is a logos spoken directly to you by God. And it is the basis of calling that which is not as though it were. And when you do it, fully persuaded in the rhema, that God would perform the rhema and therefore the decree of God, your decree. Took longer to get it out of me than I thought. Any questions? I don't want you to leave here with any doubt or any clear. But beloved, I believe if you want to know what the Spirit of God's doing right now, you know, we always want to know what's going on and God's involved in. I'm going to tell you what God's involved in. God's involved in raising up a people who can decree a thing and it will be established. Hallelujah. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it will be established, and the light shall shine upon the path. Wow. There's a lot of fixing needed right now. Perhaps in our own lives first, and the lives of the brothers and sisters second. And what's going to change things? Now, we can just keep going through a religious cycle, routine, and excuse things, say, well, I must have missed it, or I guess God didn't want to do that. Or I say to you that what God is interested is in this assembly here and in others as well is raising up men and women and young people who are in a right relationship with God. And because of that, they'll be built up. Put away iniquity from their houses. And when they pray with a clear conscience, able to look God right in the eye, their prayers are heard. And they can decree a thing. It will be established. And I'm asking God, make me that kind of person. I want to be this kind of person. Because if stuff's going to change in America, and it really needs changing, it's going to take a holy people who are in the right contact with God, who when they speak, are you ready? They speak as the oracles of God. Amen. Now, y'all should have been in on that. You should quit fussing there. Hand clap is the one way of saying amen to something. If you don't say amen to it, it will not become yours. Do not be indifferent about truths. We have discussed from the pages stuff to date that is so holy. I've never told this to anybody before. Ever. I'm not sure I even understood it well until I searched these scriptures to find these things for myself. But we have visited the sincere intentions of God and how He wants us to of the work of His hands to command Him. And it come to pass. This is what will make the lame walk again and the blind see. This is what will open prison doors.
This is what will bring back the rule of God to America. This is what will pull down strongholds. All our talk about, oh, devil, stop doing that, and he keeps on doing it, will come to an end when there's a people who do know their God and become strong and start doing the exploits, calling those things that are not as though they were, and they become so. Because it's a people right related to God. Oh. What do you want to happen to your children? Do you want to have the ability to decree and it come to pass? I say, beloved, that's precisely what you will be given the power to do. It's not merely the power of the spoken word. It's the power of the spoken rhema. It's the power of the decree that's based on the rhema. It is the power of a decree that God participates with and causes to come into existence. Hallelujah. And to that he invites us to meet these simple conditions and become mountain movers. You can say to the mountain, see, that's a decree. It's one of the works of his hands. You can say to the mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and it shall be. But you see, these abilities to speak to mountains and move them is only given and is only wrought by those of us who return to the Lord, the Almighty, and be built up. Glory to God. Put iniquity away. Clear conscience. Be able to look God in the eye. Bring the ramus and decree a thing. And it be established.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.